Hi, I'm Neil Stavem. Thanks for checking out this podcast from Connecting Faith. You can hear the show live each weekday at noon Central Time, and there are many more podcasts for this and all our Faith Radio shows available online. Our web address is myfaithradio.com. And thanks for your gifts to this listener-supported ministry. Enjoy the podcast.
Always expect something good on your lunch hour. Connecting Faith with Life.
Hi, welcome to the program. Thanks so much for tuning in. Once again, I'm Neil Stavem, along with Ryan Thomas and Grace Reif at the phones. We've got great jobs, don't we, Ryan?
Oh, man. I feel blessed every day to be in the same room as you and Grace. Actually, she's over there.
The other room, yes. You know, so, yeah.
Close enough.
I wasn't fishing for a compliment, but I was just saying that we have a, you know, but thank you. But we do have a great opportunity, don't we? We get to do what we love and visit with great people, gifted, wise people, so we can actually learn things and grow, which is...
It talks about that in Proverbs.
Learning and growing?
Yeah, yes, getting wisdom, getting understanding.
That's true. Yeah, well, it happens, hopefully, on a daily basis here on Faith Radio, especially on Connecting Faith. We're going to talk a little bit about jobs, because there are many people that are underemployed or... sadly, unemployed, or maybe in a job that they don't really love or care about. And we have an opportunity for you, at least for those in the Minneapolis-St. Paul area, next Thursday night, a week from tonight, a special job to career symposium. I'm looking forward to that, an opportunity to help those that are maybe unemployed or underemployed find work, and want to particularly focus on those that are maybe in the millennial, the Gen X generation. That unlike you, aren't sitting at home in their basement,
right,
playing video games. So.
Yeah, it's a good looking generation too.
Well, that's true.
We're looking for wisdom and understanding.
That's right.
But, you know, our good looks.
We have great advice, and our keynote presenter for next week is here today to talk with the skin. We always enjoy visiting with David Stark. David's president of Business Keys International. He's a business and church consultant and a trainer. He's a co-author of the book Life Keys, Discover Who You Are, and also written Life Directions and Small Group Material, People Together and Growing People Together Through Small Groups. And David holds a BA in Biology and an MDiv from Princeton Theological Seminary, and he has been our guest a number of times, and we always welcome him back to Connect Faith. David, good to see you again.
It's great to be here, Neil. Thanks for having me.
We want to talk about the jobs and work, career, and all those things, and I know it's... Dave is also doing some contributing to us online, so you can read his blog by going to our website at myfaithradio.com. And we were just talking before the program, you raised a question on your latest blog today, right?
Yeah, absolutely. In the symposium next week, I love it when people bring questions in advance. Either we answer them on the radio right now, or we can address them in the symposium. And the question I really have that I want people to ponder is, you know, what's a question that you would change your schedule to find the answer to in terms of jobs, careers, callings? We'd really like to know that. Both today, we'd like to answer lots of questions that people have, calling in or emailing in, et cetera, or I can incorporate that into what I'm going to do in the symposium. Yeah.
So if you're unable to be there, I know that, you know, many from outside are obviously Minneapolis, St. Paul area, probably won't be able to attend, but there may be a question that you have, and we'd love to be able to just address that. So let me just open up the phones right now. We have some questions about jobs, career, work, you know, how it's affected the family and all those things. We would love to focus on today. What one question would you change your schedule to get answered when it comes to jobs and career? Love to know. Give us a call right now at 877-933-2484. That's 877-933-2484. Or you can drop us a note by going to our website. It's myfaithradio.com. And then click on the Connecting Faith Show page. There's an email link there, and it'll come right into the studio. They could do what you have other means they could communicate.
Oh yeah, Facebook.
Facebook,
you know,
okay.
They could just search for Faith Radio, Faith Radio.
All right.
Even type in facebook.com/myfaithradio instantaneously.
Okay. All right. So we'd love to be able to make sure that we answer your questions, or at least address the questions that are first and foremost on your mind. And David, just looking today, and the one of the stories in the news, Target Corporation, of course, has gone through some struggles recently.
Yeah, absolutely.
Another 475 laid off.
Yes.
Not going to fill 700 positions, drop their part-time benefits. There's kind of a, I guess, a paradox. I mean, because it looks like the economy is getting better,
yes.
But and yet they're, you know, maybe Target's a unique situation because of their information problems they had, but... Mm-hmm. Are we getting better? Is 2014 a year of confidence?
That's a great question, because everybody's acting like cautiously it will be, at least on the business levels. But a lot of people are asking, well, where's my economic recovery?
Yeah.
Whatever the national one is. But I think the overlay on that is that the kinds of jobs that are being created and the kinds of jobs that are being created are not as much the high-paying jobs. Right today, as they look at the overall landscape of work, there are corporations who really are large players internationally, and they have a layer of people who are core to their capabilities, and that's where the good jobs are. But they also have a lot of other jobs that are just, you know, executing whatever is there. And there isn't really... there's no elevator for a lot of the jobs between where they are upwards anymore. There's not a ladder for those. And those are the jobs that are always at risk, are the ones that, you know, we have them, but there isn't really a career path in them. It's a good place to pay bills, and I define jobs as paying bills, right? That's different than a career, which is really a place where you can advance into other things, which is even different than a calling. And we can talk more about that. But so there's those kind of corporations. There are corporations who operate on having as little labor as possible. These are usually the low-cost places. And so once again, the jobs, unless you're core to that corporation, those jobs are going to go away also, come and go. There are organizations that are built on innovations and built on the structure of saying, we plan on advancing individuals. They're usually not the low-cost ones. They're not always international. But those corporations tend to develop people. That's where the good jobs are being created today. And so consequently, the marketplace it depends where you're at in the marketplace, honestly, and how far down those jobs are going to happen.
Talk about corporations. I guess we hear, though, that most job creation is coming in small business,
yes,
right?
It is.
So that's not the 3Ms, the Honeywells, the Targets, those things.
Not as much. We hope that they expand this year, but I think it's 75% of the jobs are happening in the small, medium-sized businesses in terms of job creation. So those are places where you're more likely to see openings than you will. Obviously, but if you're core to a corporation, then Target will hire you or whatever, 3M will hire you, the engineers and whatever, and Target, the equivalent is. But the other jobs are really being created primarily in small, medium-sized businesses.
But that is, we're in a season in our country, it seems like, where jobs are at risk.
They are.
Where, I mean, it's not
yes.
not the 30 years in gold watch anymore.
Exactly. And there's a lot of reasons why. One of the reasons why is the better that computers get, the more we're in a robotic age. And what that means is that jobs can start by being filled by humans. But if the computer gets good enough, they're going to start to farm off part of that job, the computer. And then if it gets really good enough, they eliminate the job completely, or they outsource it to an environment where labor is cheaper. So things are going through what's called the robotic curve now. And so people have to be aware of the fact is, can this be automated? Can it be digitalized? Can a robot do this, or are they going to hire somebody in India or Peru to do the same thing? So that's one source of why we're seeing jobs go away. Another one is that there are certain skills that can be replaced easily by really giving them away to lower labor markets. And so in those cases, they really got to ask the question, is this core to the corporation? If you are core to the corporation, you're going to get all kinds of opportunity. But if you're not, you've got to find a company where you are, because you're more likely to be able to stay there, advance, and go forward with that. So that's another source of what's happening. The other thing you got to realize is that 3 billion people have come into the marketplace. And that's how many have been added in the last decade because of the internet, because it's all over the world now. Basically, there are subcontractors in every country who are vying for a lot of the jobs that we're vying for. And that doesn't mean it's going to be pessimistic. There's a lot of new things needed in those markets, but there is a transition time that we're in right now between being non-digital world and being a fully digital world that eliminates a lot of existing jobs. This happens whenever there's a major industrial revolution. In our case, it's the communications and information revolution. But you end up with a lot of jobs becoming obsolete. But in the wake of that, there's a lot of jobs that are burgeoning and becoming important. But a lot of us have to manage between those two seasons in history.
Yeah, we have to, till we can maybe get to maybe the training or whatever, we have to understand, I guess, what's at our core and then what's core for a company, right?
Yes. So coming out of school, the most important question may not be my passions at this point or the eventual place I'd like to be. The first thing I have to do is build mastery. And mastery requires, tipping point, it requires 10,000 hours using whatever my central talents are or gifts to get to mastery. It's when I begin to have mastery that I can begin to negotiate where I'm going to use that mastery. When I'm talking to young people, I said, yeah, you can go down and work at Company A. It may pay a little bit more than Company B, but if it doesn't let you master what you're good at, you're going to get stuck in Company A. Because you don't have yet the expertise or you haven't developed an excellence to the place where these four other companies would like me to use that. So I recommend that even if it doesn't pay as much at first, get in the lane that will use you and allow you to develop into some kind of mastery rather than getting a little bit more money now, but you don't have the gateway built to where you're going to be marketable. That's one of the things I tell them about. Looking for jobs.
We're going to talk more in a moment about looking for work. We're going to distinguish jobs, career, calling, all those things, and are looking for your questions too. And you may have, maybe you have a 20-something in your home family that is underemployed or unemployed and like to get some advice there, or maybe it's a spouse or yourself, and you're wondering, is this the time? Is 2014 the year that I can actually transition to something that really sparks my passion? Love to have you join the conversation. David Stark is my guest today, president of Business Keys International. He's a business and church consultant and trainer and author, and he is also the keynote for our Jobs to Career Symposium next Thursday night on the campus of the University of Northwestern in St. Paul. I'd love to have you join us. Give us a call right now at 877-93-FAITH. That's 877-933-2484. Or you can drop us an email at myfaithradio.com. And click on Connecting Faith, and we'll take your questions and comments coming up here in a moment.
Real encouragement for an active walk of faith. Podcast audio of today's programs on Faith Radio in case you missed the show. The very latest on conferences and events in your area. It's all in one place and delivered right to your inbox from Faith Radio when you subscribe by email to myfaithradio.com. Head to myfaithradio.com and enter your email address in the subscribe box right at the top of the page, helping you connect faith to life every day at myfaithradio.com.
Hi, I'm Dick Whitworth, General Manager of Faith Radio. Are you new to the station? Well, welcome. It's great to have you tuning in. We have a new listener packet that's designed for friends just like you. It tells you a little bit about the station, who we are, why we exist, and what we're hoping to accomplish in the Upper Midwest. It's yours free for the asking at myfaithradio.com. Check it out. It's myfaithradio.com. It's the new listener packet. Request yours today.
Little
it's Colossians 3, right? And whatever you do, in word or deed, do it all to the glory of the Lord. We want to do that as much as anything, but we're made to do, right? We're talking about that, finding work, finding deeper meaning in life. In fact, that's one of the keys that you'll find in the book, Life Keys, Discover Who You Are, about finding deeper meaning in life, working through career changes, developing your usefulness to God. That's a part of what's in the book, Life Keys. The author, David Stark, is with us today. He's president of Business Keys International and author, co-author of Life Keys, Discover Who You Are, and several other books. And he will be the keynote for our Jobs to Career Symposium coming up next week for those in the Faith 900 listening area. It'll be at the Blue Room of the University of Northwestern St. Paul. I hope you can be a part of that. You can find details online at myfaithradio.com. We're also looking during this hour if there's a question that you have, as David recently blogged here on our website, what question would you change your schedule to find the answer to? So even if you were unable to attend, that we'd still like to address those questions. David, one of my questions was, we were talking just a few minutes ago about the first thing to build mastery and to get in the lane, even if it means maybe a lesser paying job. But it seems like statistically, today's new worker is going to have maybe 13, 14, 15 jobs. I mean, there seems like they're changing lanes a lot. So are they changing lanes, or are, and is that just because they're
great
not
question.
They're not sticking to it?
They're going to have 18 jobs before the 38 is the statistic. And the reality is this, is that therefore no employers or very few employers can promise loyalty in the sense of you're going to be here a long time and you're going to just move up. They can't promise that. And so consequently, people need to take control of their own career processes. So let's just talk about mastery for a moment. You may or may not be able to get an entry job in the field you want, but I know lots of people who are missing something, and that is if you ask to go volunteer somewhere in a field that you love, or you just go spend a day it with somebody in that field, or perhaps you're going to tune into a blog or a place where people are talking about that online, there is an enormous amount of experience and education that you can gain even when you're not working in it. I had a friend of mine who he's a writer, and he began to do writing and was doing a lot of that. But to pay the bills, he really was working in a coffee shop. But as he worked in the coffee shop, this is a place that actually roasts their own beans. And so he liked what the roasters were doing, and he volunteered with them, was there with them. And sure enough, 6 months later, they offered him a job as a roaster. And now he's become their major roaster, and he's about to open up businesses in Los Angeles. They're in San Francisco. But my point is, he wouldn't even have gotten that door open had he not gone somewhere, whether he's being paid for it or not right now, somewhere where they can get in that lane. I would suggest that since you're going to have so many jobs, what I'm tracking is, in this job, am I learning? Am I developing mastery? Am I connected to people of where I want to go? Am I doing the stuff that actually gets me ready? Because I'm not going to be here forever. In fact, I may not even be here a year. And so I'm gonna go that way with my jobs in serial kind of process of having them. Because that's where you're going to get autonomy. Autonomy is when your gifts are developed enough into capabilities that I can begin to negotiate where I go. I can begin to apply places because the employer is saying, what can you do for me? And by the way, most of our jobs are not going to be permanent here. So do you have a level of mastery that I could actually give you a job that could last a while? Or am I not there? But we have to be proactive about it, Neil. If we're not saying, this is what I'm trying to develop, then we can easily get sidetracked into jobs where we're not talented. And then we're not building excellence or mastery.
There's maybe a related issue, and we'll get to Elizabeth's question next. She's listening in Faith 900 in Minneapolis and has a question about going from home to work. Elizabeth,
yes.
You're on with Dave Stark. Go ahead with your question.
I'm almost 50 years old. I've been doing two different jobs, one a cleaning business, and then the other kept my foot in the door doing telephone sales, customer service work. Want to get rid of the cleaning, do one job, would love to work from my home doing the customer service work. How do I find legit companies that are actually hiring for at-home workers? There's so many scams artists out on the computer. Where do I start?
I personally, one of the biggest places I would start is called LinkedIn. Are you on LinkedIn?
I'm not.
LinkedIn is the biggest national professional network in the world. And what they have on there is the ability to search companies. You can do a search by your specific city or town that are in the sales field or doing that kind of thing. And so I start there, but you can also, there's a lot of jobs posted on LinkedIn, and you can filter them relative to telephone sales. You can even filter them ready to stay at home telephone sales. So what I'm trying to do is get you in touch with the companies that are hiring specifically what you want.
So do I necessarily have to put a resume on there? I mean, I don't have much to put on because I've been doing the cleaning and the phone sales for all these many years.
I regardless of your level, I would still get your presence going there because lots of recruiters are going to look through LinkedIn profiles in certain areas, and they're looking for people that have had whatever level of experience in what you're looking for. They search for at-home customer service or at-home telephone sales. So that's one of the first places that I would do that. The second place I would do that is I would get a hold of something like Manpower or companies like that. There's an enormous number of temporary companies. You go in for just amounts of time, but they keep their workers working pretty consistently. And even if you go into a lot of different companies doing a little bit of this, you're building a mastery around it, where usually temporary work leads to permanent work. Because why? Because the company knows you now. They've seen your work ethic. They've seen whether you produce or not. You're much more likely to get the full-time job if the bridge is between the temporary jobs.
So to plug into one of these temporary opportunities is really not a bad strategy at all.
Not at all. And especially think about it. If I'm going to have 18 jobs before I'm 38, why not be with a temporary company who's looking for me all the time? I mean, it's like, I realize they get a part of the salary, but I'm telling you, the experience you can build is huge.
And you said earlier, we're talking about learning and connecting. I mean, that connecting part is still the key, which is, I guess, what LinkedIn is about too, isn't it?
And let me tell you how LinkedIn works, because you build up people that you know. That's called your first connectors, right? Most of the jobs are not with your first connectors. 85% of the jobs on LinkedIn are with your second connectors, which means the people that they know is where the jobs are. And so I'm going to ask people that I trust and trust me to say, may I connect to who you're connected to? And, of course, you can find out what field those people are in by looking at their profiles and where they're working and what they do. And so, consequently, you can cherry pick from their connectors. Well, these people are working in what I want to talk about. So, and then I ask for an introduction. Would you introduce me to these four people? Because I'd like to talk to them about a job. That's where the jobs are. Your first people love you, but they may not be connected to the jobs. Most of the time they're not. But the people they're connected to is where the jobs are.
And it's not a problem to ask, right?
Not at all.
They love you anyway.
Yeah, that's right. These are the folk that are friends with you, and they'd love to help. And they don't mind saying, boy, I noticed that you're connected to. See, notice when you ask your best friends, whatever, would you help me get a job? That's very vague. Well, yeah, I'll do the best I can. Yeah. When you ask them, here are four people that you know on LinkedIn, would you introduce me to them? Slam dunk. Because I can do that. It's tangible. I get it done. Short amount of time.
Yeah. All right. We'll talk more about it. Thanks, Elizabeth, for the call. By the way, if you are available next Thursday night at the Blue Room, the University of Northwestern, it's just a $10 ticket, and be a great opportunity to come and hear David and and others, and it'll be a lot of practical things. In fact, we'll probably help you get set up on LinkedIn. Probably think that's maybe
absolutely
part of it. So.
Yeah, in fact, one person is going to talk about it a lot.
So we'll get to that. By the way, you can get details about that online, myfaithradio.com. More of your questions are coming up with David Stark. You can join us right now at 877-933-2484. 877-933-2484. We're talking jobs, career, and calling, and there's more coming up in a moment.
Have your way, Lord, have your way. In my heart, your kingdom make. As I walk each step I take, all this I pray, Lord, have your way.
Talking today with David Stark. We're talking about jobs, about jobs to careers. And we have a symposium coming next week. For those in the Minneapolis-St. Paul area, at least, and I hope that you are able to attend that. It's just a minimum entry fee of like $10, or you can get a box lunch, I think, for $15. You can go online, register at myfaithradio.com, myfaithradio.com. It'll be a great evening packed with a great deal of information, practical tools and steps to take to find work in these times when jobs are at risk, to help us pursue mastering our core capabilities. David Stark, by the way, president of Business Keys International. He's a business and church consultant and trainer and author of co-author of several books, including Life Keys, Discover Who You Are. And we visit David from time to time. He's also a contributor on our blog site here on myfaithradio.com, so check that out. And we would love to have you join us for a conversation today as we take some of your questions about jobs and career. And David, I want to follow up because we were talking with Elizabeth a few minutes ago, and you mentioned LinkedIn.
Yep.
Is it like a job posting site? Is it made up of people that are looking for work? Or tell me a little bit more about LinkedIn and why that part of sort of social media so
yes
key.
It's not a job posting site. There are many, many jobs posted there. But the nice thing about LinkedIn is this is where the business community of the world is living. It's the biggest one where they're living anyway. And so this is really professional to professional. I've seen more and more CEOs get on there, and CEOs don't get on much usually.
Yeah.
I've seen that happen. I've seen, all kinds of people live their professional lives there. Now, they have a huge job posting piece to it that you can do on LinkedIn, but it's much more about the companies and about profiles of executives and various people. That's why it's actually so powerful. It's because you're not just bombarded with jobs there. You can get to that job side of it, and recruiters use it all the time for various searching for jobs. That's why I recommend it the most. This is professionals that are doing all kinds of business stuff. But where you also can find out about companies, find out about people in the companies, what level they are, what they need. So
this is kind of peer-to-peer
discussion
about if I'm in engineering, then I find others that are in that.
And absolutely.
So share, kind of posting site or just sharing sharing strategies or whatever.
Absolutely. And it has become the place where business people help other business people with whatever they're thinking about or doing.
So is there an understanding if you come on LinkedIn, that people know that, someone's whatever trying, like that what friend you are, whatever the term is, that you have to have somebody introduce you before you can do that? I mean, you can't just sort of, here's the president of a company I'd like to work at.
Right. So the way it works is this, is that I get my profile on there, and then I start to invite people to be connected to me. Right. And so I get as many people connected as I can. The opening part is important. Try to get as many as you can because you can look up anybody on LinkedIn, kind of in any city, on anything. But to actually get you have to invite them to connect with you. And it's a whole lot better for a friend to refer you to them from which you can begin communicating as that person accepts your invitation to be linked to them. So it very much works of taking all your relationships. And business people they did this informally for years, but to have a place where, I've got 700-800 business people in my connection, and when you multiply that times their connections, it's hundreds of thousands of connections that are easy for me. They're through my first connectors, right? And then there's actually a third connector beyond that. But usually it's about saying, wow, these people can help me a lot more than I thought they could. And now I have a formal place I can do that because they're connected and continue to connect to other people.
We were talking a little bit before the program just about, in fact, you brought a friend along today and got talking about the subject of mentoring and
yes.
how, I mean, that connection, there can be a sort of a path that you take. It's not simply just
Absolutely.
Stay connected, but that you actually are investing in,
yes.
in somebody's
life. And I think when people hear mentoring, there are fabulous formal mentoring programs in many, many companies today. That's part of their ongoing training process or their development of leaders or whatever it is. But I want to take it to a more basic level. Mentoring is simply spending time with somebody that you is doing stuff you might like to do. So don't make it so complicated. You know, it's amazingly, I would guess most of the time if you ask somebody saying, would you mind if I shadow you for a day? Or can we sit down and talk about what you do? Or whatever the relationship's going to be, lots of people will do that. And so I don't have to stay stuck thinking, well, I'm putting all these resumes out there on jobs online. They don't even call me back, which is just so frustrating and so discouraging, right? So I'm going to go out there and talk to them. And the more you talk to them, they know people and you know people and you get to experience what language are they using? What are they reading? You know, who are they connected to? You know, how does life work for them? And so worlds open up that way. I can't tell you how many college students I've talked to where they've majored in something. They get their first job in that and they hate it because they never actually went and experienced it. I did have a friend who was pre-dental. He had great dental boards, you know, 4.0. He went and visited a dentist his senior year and he just hated the thing. I said, you know, wisdom would say, I'm going to go spend a day with them long before I figure out what that is, right? So I find it much easier than you think. And your network probably knows people. So it's not just people you know, but you ask your friend, does anybody know a chiropractor? Or does anybody know whatever it is? You're going to find them pretty fast. And so that you can actually figure out the world. And they'll answer questions like, well, how do I get started? Or what would be something I could develop that would make me into, make me marketable into that situation? So you're using relationship. It's now the season of relationships. What the web has done the most is make us highly relational, which is wonderful. But we've got to take advantage of that. We got to get in venues where, and obviously in Facebook's another place you can ask your friends. Does anybody know this or that, or can you connect me to that? It's amazing how much of that's happening today.
You know, you were talking about the it's to kind of counteract some of the discouragement. I was thinking about a friend of mine, a young 20-something, just got laid off, was sort of underemployed, and now,
yep.
you know, sitting at home.
Yep.
I mean, there's that story is probably told many times over.
It is.
How do we, maybe even as parents or friends or maybe mentors, is there a way that we can come alongside and encourage somebody like that?
Absolutely. First of all, the discouragement of just trying to apply online in most cases is just awful. It's even worse than calling because they don't call back and they don't even say anything. It just goes into oblivion. So there are many, many different job transition support groups in many big churches and churches around the cities. But that's the first thing. The first thing I would do is I got to get a community here because I got to have a place where we can talk and, in fact, we now know psychologically just talking to somebody can encourage me. Or there's a lot that just goes on, you know, chemically between people when they get together. So I've got to have part of my day that is in community. It's very helpful in churches that you have small groups. The great thing about small groups is they love you whether you're succeeding or not. You need to have some people that just are in your life, right? That's the first thing. Second thing is you can't look for jobs all day long. So you pocket some hours that you're going to be doing that, but then you've got some other hours where you're working out. You've got some other work hours where you are taking a class online or you are networking with other folk. And so your day is made up of a lot more than just applying. Why? Because you need to be succeeding at other parts of your life when you're working to find the job. And so my biggest counsel is just start working on these other things in addition to the job thing, because you've got to get momentum relationally, spiritually, et cetera, in your life, so that the discouragement just doesn't defeat you. The thing about the national unemployment statistic is the reality is so many people have dropped out. So the real national employment picture is much higher than is being reported, because there's just many workers that said, I'm not in it anymore.
Here's a related question. So if you're a millennial,
yep,
and following the path and working hard at jobs not quite in your gifting in an effort to get to that someday, how do you keep the vision of where you want to go and not lose heart?
Yep.
In the process, because
yep,
it doesn't always happen overnight.
Yep. And but that's exactly what I want to say, is that usually mastery comes before I start to get into jobs that are in my passion. Why? Because most of those jobs require mastery of something before I'm even offered them. So if I'm in other jobs, I've got to at least get part of my volunteer life, part of my educational life, part of my network life has got to be engaged with where I want to go. Because otherwise, I'm just going to stay not developing where I really want to develop. So it requires that I'm proactive about my evenings. I'm proactive about my weekends. I'm proactive about other things, my lunches, what I do online, because I need to get into that field. Otherwise, a dream can die. It can just drop out of existence. And know that most people don't get the dream job until they've mastered something and they have some autonomy. Now the dream jobs begin to be on the radar screen. In fact, the problem is passion can work against you at first because you think you are going to get the dream job right out of the barrel. Most people don't. Some people do. Most people don't.
But as a counter to that, do we put way too much emphasis on in terms of self-worth into career? I mean, isn't that guys particularly?
There's no doubt about
that. This is who I am as opposed to what I do.
Fortunately, the younger generations watch the baby boomers work themselves to death. And so most of these young generations are saying, work is going to fit into my life, not my life into work. There's high values there. So I know lots of millennials that move to the town they want to live in and build the relationships they want to build, and then they worry about how am I going to do this job thing, right? So that's balancing. But the problem is the anxiety when you don't have a job is you think, I don't have time to take care of myself. I don't have time to have lunch with that person. Believe me, those things are going to be the network connections, the things that encourage you, that keep your confidence up so that when you are in job interviews or whatever, you are there fully as a person.
We're talking jobs, career, calling. Haven't really touched on calling yet. We'll get to that here in a moment.
Yep.
Would love to have you join the conversation. You have a question, got another one here in queue we'll get to, coming online at myfaithradio.com. But if you have a question you'd like to join us, we've got some time for your calls at 877-933-2484. That's 877-933-2484. We're talking about the job search, talking about mastering skills, about finding our passion, our core, and in this uncertain time, how we can maybe be a mentor and encourage others, how to get connected and all those things. David Stark, president of Business Keys International, business and church consultant and trainer, and he's going to be our keynote presenter next week for the Job and Career Symposium, which Faith Radio is hosting at the Blue Room on the University of Northwestern St. Paul campus. And if you're in the area, I'd encourage you to make a point to come next to Thursday evening. We've got details on our website, myfaithradio.com. And then join us here with a question. We've asked right at the beginning of the show, is there a question that you'd like to get answered in advance, one that we make sure that we address? You're welcome to give us a call right now with that at 877-933-2484. More with David Stark in a moment.
Hi, I'm Dick Whitworth, General Manager of Faith Radio. You and I both know that living for Jesus is a lifelong journey. And we're committed to helping you connect faith to life with access when you need it. And to help you keep your faith strong throughout the day, we'd like to send you a Live by Faith wristband. It's free. Wear it each day as a reminder that you're on a journey of faith. If you would like your free wristband, visit myfaithradio.com to request yours. We'll get it out to you as soon as possible.
It's been the bestseller since the printing press was invented. Controversial for centuries, history can't ignore the message of the Bible. If you're looking to go deeper in your study of God's work, stop by our website this month for a chance to win a free MacArthur Study Bible, a great resource featuring more than 20,000 study notes stretching from Genesis to Revelation, compiled by Dr. John MacArthur. Start a deeper walk of faith today when you visit myfaithradio.com and search Bible Study.
It's Connecting Faith. We've connected with David Stark again. I was glad to have him in studio. And we're talking about understanding a bit about the world of work, jobs, career, calling. We'll try and touch on calling a bit as well. We're inviting you to call, too, by the way, at 877-93-FAITH. It's 877-933-2484, taking your questions today. So one of our callers, David, asked, where can I get some personal professional counseling or consulting? Talk about what a life coach service provided, the right kind of ideas on where to, what career path to try, how to start. I think there might probably some people we were, I sort of misunderstood, I think, Elizabeth's call before. I was thinking she was trying to get back in the workforce, but there may be some people like that say, I don't even really know
yes.
where to start.
Yeah, first of all, I think life coaches can be fantastic for this. What I'm doing is, obviously, we're doing the symposium next Thursday where we're going to begin that. But at the symposium, I offer a course that's built off of Business Keys, what I do, plus how do you apply that in your life and actually write a life plan for a year, two, 3 years in that process. And I'm going to make it available for people to sign up for at the symposium. Sure. Yeah, my website is businesskeys.com. It's also going to be able to sign up there.
Okay. And there is, that is really one of the, that's a crucial step, isn't it?
We need to,
even if we, you know, we adjust the plan as we go along to have a place to start.
Right? It is, because of all those jobs, because the career is not going to be obvious anymore. So if I don't have a strategy toward it, it'll just move me wherever the job is. And so consequently, I've got to be proactive about this direction so that I can make good choices and finally get to the callings that I really want to get to.
Well, let's talk callings.
Yep.
How is that different than a job, work, career?
So for me, a job I'm defining as this pays the bills, right? A career is the kind of work that allows me to get better and better work, right? A calling is when work is very central to my life. It's important to me, and I have a sense of God's blessing in it, and so I'm now in a sweet spot of my life as I contribute what God wants me to the society. The truth is, you contribute on all levels, but the way you really experience that in a big way is when you're at a calling level. It doesn't happen right away, usually.
And is there one over the course of a lifetime?
I think there's more than one. But because here's what happens. You develop certain gifts, and then God uses them then. But then God may actually move you to a different place to use those gifts from which other gifts might get developed or more education or more experience, from which God moves you to another location. Joseph's classic here. You know, Joseph eventually is going to be second command in Egypt, but he starts in Potiphar's house and develops some gifts there, gets thrown in prison, develops more gifts in prison, finally is up at Potiphar's house, at Pharaoh's second command. So all that stuff had purpose at the moment, and it also had purpose by way of getting ready for something else in the calling. So it changes over life.
So along with that, we were just talking during the break, is there a Christian approach to the job search, and how would that be different than
very definitely.
Someone else?
I've got strong feelings about this. The first thing is that I really believe, as Ephesians 2:10 says, that we've been created for good works that God wants us to do from the foundation of the world. So it's not as if I got to go find it. I do have to go find it. But the other thing is, I start by saying, God, what are you doing? So I start believing that, and I'm praying for God to guide me. And we can't do all about guidance today, but that's the first thing, is I think we're guided, and I think it's purposeful. And the way we've been created, Neil, God intends to use. So I can trust my talents and gifts, because I can't do everything. I can do what God gave me to do. That's the second thing I'd say. The third thing I'd say is that many Christians have to go through the same development that we're talking about for all people. So in Moses' case, he had to be in Pharaoh's court for a while to learn how to lead, so when he led the nation, he could lead them. Daniel was given an education when he got to wherever that was.
Babylon,
yeah, right? Yeah. And that education was critical, along with his diet and other gifts, to what he was going to do, right? So things happen on the way. And so I learned that as I'm asking for God's guidance, I'm walking in that reality. I may not even know what certain things are going to lead to later. But they usually have reason now, even if it's just to provide. But later on, they're going to have a reason to. And my passions and values shift during those periods, and they shift me into places where God's asking me to go many times.
And how critical that prayer component is,
it is at
all stages. Really.
It is. So, yeah. I mean, and so that's the first thing in my life is I believe that this is not about me figuring it out fundamentally. It's about my relationship with Christ and what the Spirit is doing. And I have to add that up day by day by day. You know, we're not usually given the plan. We're usually given, no, why don't you hold my hand here, Jesus, and you guide me every step of the way. Keeps us dependent, but it also is because the world is changing so fast, the plan might even not make sense right now because the actors aren't in place, the circumstances haven't gotten there, I may not be developed enough yet, whatever. There's so much that changes, so I've got to walk it day by day.
Take a call from Leslie. She's listening in Faith 1270 in Sioux Falls. Leslie, you're on with David Stark. Go ahead.
Hi.
Hi.
I was just curious. I was a stay-at-home mom for like 15 years, went into insurance after that.
Yes.
And just built up a passion, or was given a gift to decorate and do decor and all this great stuff.
Yes.
And I do it. I've done it for weddings. I've done it for friends. I've done it for businesses. But I went in to apply for a position to do decor, and they asked me how I learned that. And I said, "Well, I'm just self-taught." And they were like, "But well, you were home with children for so long. We really think you should probably have a degree." But I don't know what to say, because I really feel like the Lord's blessed me with this wonderful ability to do decor, and it's more than just the happy little rainbow unicorn decor.
Yeah. Okay.
What do I do? Because I'm sure they're thinking the same thing. They're like, "Oh, sure, you know how to decorate with crayons,
sure,
lady."
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
I personally think that there will be an educational component, but it does not have to be separate from your ongoing development as using what you already have. So in some cases, you may not be able to hop into the interior design job, which is going to ask you to have a degree and experience. But you may work under an interior designer, or you may be taking online courses or other courses that allow you to learn more and more about this, that make you more and more experienced and marketable, even if you don't have the degree. So what I'm trying to say is God's going to use you in the process, and God may ask you to go get the education, even if it's over time. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Right. Well, I did go and I talked to the head designer of this company, and I asked him, you know, specifically, how do you feel about an application where there's no formal education? He said, "Really, I feel like you've either got it or you don't." And then I asked him at that point if they would consider just letting me come in and ramble some of their things together and see if they can get me in the direction of their flow. Was that being too brazen or too... I feel like I may be like, is that too prideful? I mean, I don't know if I went the wrong direction.
Not at all. Because he gave you the signal. I really am open to gifted people. I don't necessarily have to have the education. Because you realize the knowledge is the thing they can fill in the easiest. The mastery of the gift takes time. And if you've been working in that gift for a while, this particular experience may be able to help you fill in many things by mentoring with other designers, by asking you to take certain courses, whatever it is. I don't think I'd slow down because he's clearly given you an open door.
And I assume probably developing your portfolio of samples. Here's some of my work. You can look at that. And see.
Yep. And then it may involve a degree also.
Yeah. Good work, Leslie. I wish you well on that. I think the crayon decor is underutilized, personally, but that's just me.
I got that. Yeah. My youngest son used that decor on a friend of mine's during a dinner party.
Yeah,
that didn't go over so well.
Wasn't really well received. Okay, so maybe there's some wisdom that could be applied to that as well.
Absolutely.
All right, Dave, we just got a couple of minutes left. Say a word about the symposium, maybe just an appeal to those that have not yet decided to come yet.
Absolutely. This symposium we are trying to design for all people, but we're especially trying to design for people that have gotten, you know, the economy may have forced them to get a job. And that may or may not be at all about what their career is going to be. And yet, how do I get the energy? What do I start? What do I do to actually move into the career lanes or even the calling lanes? And we're going to talk all about that. There's going to be a panel of people answering questions. There's going to be more than one speaker there. I'll be doing the keynotes. But a friend of mine named Lonnie Golden is going to do a lot about LinkedIn and how you get jobs. He's a recruiter himself and knows all that stuff. And so we're going to do in various ways. We're also going to leave time to actually apply this at the symposium. And then at the symposium, if you get to the place where you want to go deeper and actually do some life planning around this, then there's going to be a second opportunity to do that. But we'd love to have people. Or best thing is maybe you know people that know it, to get the inertia, I'm going to go with them. So I'm going to ask my brother to go to this. My good friend is stuck. I'm going to take them there. You know, somebody in my church just needs a boost.
Yeah. $10 online. Get plugged in, register online. You can do that today. MyFaithRadio.com. It's MyFaithRadio.com. David Stark, always good to have you here.
Nice to be here, Neil.
Look forward to next week for those in the Twin Cities area. For everyone else, you find out about his writing at BusinessKeys.com. It's BusinessKeys.com, or you can read David's blog on our website as well at MyFaithRadio.com. And we'll have the links up there. And if you missed part of today's program, get the podcast and pass it on to a friend. Thanks for listening to Connecting Faith.